Good evening. Thanks for making it tonight. I'm sure it's summer and we'd like to enjoy the outdoor and appreciate it for coming tonight. So part of my notes, there are a lot of papers in front of me. So if it does happen that I miss a paper and then the message doesn't come complete, you have a root beer float in the end. So you cannot miss that. So when Ray was asking me about to come and share about the Lord's Supper, I was like, great. And we were in vacation with our family, and I thought, oh, Lord's Supper, such an easy topic. And once you get into the depth of the word, you see the importance of it and the value of it and how important it is to also relay, how to relay out the value of Lord's Supper. So what we have also kids tonight in here. So I'm sure you are questioning on Sunday morning that you want to sleep maybe a little bit more, but why you have to get ready and get prepared and maybe rush to the cars and maybe some stress in the family. You know, I forgot this, I didn't got that, put a dress shirt for church, or, you know, the dad or mom is like, everyone rush, someone is pushing forward. I can talk that in the family settings. And I'm sure each of us has those memories that we must be partaking on Sunday morning in the church together. And I'm wondering if some of the kids are wondering why we get together in the Sunday morning. Any of you can tell me why we get together in the morning, Sunday morning? Nathan? Yes, to remember Lord Jesus. And that is great. I will say when I was 10 years old in my home assembly in Albania, and I just knew that I'm saved in the Lord Jesus. And the most important meeting for me after that was Sunday school and learning about Lord Jesus and all the histories and the games. As I grew older and I was understanding that the importance of Lord's Supper. And as you continue growing, you also start questioning why you do what you do, which is very important for each of us to go into the scripture and see why I'm doing this way. And as I was reading and researching and to what wanting to share tonight, where is founded what we do today as we meet on Sunday morning? Where we come up with this? Why we have to be all together? Why we have to have the symbols? Why is not only one preacher and the rest don't have to get up? The men don't have to get up. Why we have to sing all these songs? Or there is always a reason why we do things, and that is because we do it because we have God's word. And this is where is the foundation that why we are doing what we do. And so Wauwatosa Bible Chapel at 9 o'clock Sunday morning, we come together and to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why we have to do that? And I'm sure we all know is because our Lord Jesus commanded, he ordained, he said that we should do it. So if we get every morning, we have some of the boys after the meeting go with a flyer in here, and I'm sure we are very interested to know whose birthday is there, who is a wedding anniversary tour. And I don't see my name in here, which is good. But in the end, there is the statement of faith that our assembly, the elders are writing down. So whoever comes or us that are in here, we are all in the same page. And we know what we are believing in. And so if you can allow me, I'll read that. If you are a visitor, we welcome you and trust that you will find spiritual help and friendly welcome here. Thank you, Ruth. May we ask you to fill out a visitor card and place it in a visitor card deposit in the foyer. So we believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God and is the sole authority and pattern for church practice, personal faith, and conduct. And as we are mentioning God's word, that's when we see those patterns. There is one God, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and came into the world as a man in order to become the Savior of men. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again, and ascended back to heaven. Personal acceptance of him as Savior is the essential and only way of salvation. The Lord will return to the air for his people and will also return to the earth later to establish his kingdom. There is one church, which is the body of Christ, composed of all true believers, of which Christ himself is the sole head. A local church is a place where God's people may find rest, help, and encouragement. It is also a lighthouse to help those who are lost find the way of salvation. That's emphasizing in here, partaking of the Lord's Supper is a privilege and responsibility of each one who is a child of God through faith in Christ. We welcome at Lord's Supper all such believers. Isn't it nice and clear? Simple, but very clear. And this is what our assembly believes, and we vocally say that, and we are exercising Lord's Supper. Now we come to institution of Lord's Supper. I'm sure Nate Appleton spoke last week about the baptism, and this week is for Lord's Supper. Over 2,000 so years, the Church of Christ has been exercising or doing what Jesus has ordained, the baptism and also the Lord's Supper. And I'm sure different churches, different tribes have been exercising in a different ways and manners. We're going to focus on what Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, the Brethren Assemblies, believe. So I do have a picture from Ray. He shared the PowerPoint. I don't have it for everyone, but he's like 40 some years old in England. And there is a group of believers there. But wanted to emphasize something in here. And that will be why we have to exercise the Lord's Supper. And there's been a place, a criteria, why has been. And the scriptural validity of Christian ordinance consists of a yes answer to three questions asked concerning it. Was it commanded by the Lord Jesus in the gospel? Was it practiced in the early church? And we're going to in the books of Acts. And then was it clearly expounded in the epistles? So was it continuing in the epistles? And we're going to notice that actually Lord's Supper was mentioned seven times, three times in the Gospels, and once in the First Corinthians, a very passage that that we have also a conduct of in the Lord's Supper and the church. And there are other passages that the early church was getting together. So I was looking how we are coming up, how to relay Lord's Supper, because we know it's founded by Lord Jesus, then the early church, and what we as brethren do today. And I wanted to start reading at Luke chapter 22. And this is when I want to read verse 7 to 13, and then verse 19 and 20. We want to give a picture because Jesus, our Lord Jesus, already knew that he was going to Jerusalem, and the mission was to fulfill God's will. He was going to die for us. He was going to become the Lamb of God. And he knew what he was going to do. And he already has mentioned to his disciples. But we're continuing seeing here, Jesus and his disciples prepare the Passover. Verse 7 to 13. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. You follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it, just as Jesus said to them, and they prepared the Passover. While I'm reading this passage, it's really a preparation to know that Jesus, we know the storyline of Passover. Why is a Passover? It was an annual feast for Israelites to remember what God has done to redeem them from the slavery and from Egypt, and what has to happen about it. When the angel of the Lord was going and when was seen on top of the post that there was a blood of lamb, then the angel of the Lord would not exercise judgment. And we know that a lamb had to be sacrificed, blood had to be shed, and then the judgment of God is not being exercised to that family. And this what Israel is and there is way more, I'm simplifying, but there is way more in this remembrance, but there was always a meal that was being set, and I'm sure it was a pilgrimage area that a lot of people was going to Jerusalem, Jew people, and they were celebrating this feast. And it's amazing to see that the detail, why the scripture had to give this kind of detail for preparing this, the feast, the dinner in the upper room. And Jesus gave this description and everything was to the dot. I'm just coming back to saying, there's no coincidence. God had a plan. He already knew this man will be with a pitcher of water in this entrance of the city. And that was a sign. It's amazing. I mean, why these small details need to be placed in there, but has a meaning behind that this was all planned and nothing escapes in God's eye. But when we go to the Lord's Supper, we have all the disciples sitting with Jesus, and they just came from people. Jesus was on a donkey and people were celebrating, and maybe they were thinking he's a king coming. And now Jesus is sitting on this dinner and he's saying the contrary of what the people are thinking and believing. And he said in verse 19 and 20, "And he took bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you." And he showed the bread and then also the cup. And he's saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. And do this in remembrance of me." This is the moment that Jesus instilled. He he placed, he founded the Lord's Supper. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. The word do this, it's not just a word, maybe you can do it, maybe you consider it, but it's do this, you must do it. It's an order, and it's an active order, do this. You have to be proactive to doing it, and you do it in remembrance of me. I'm wondering why should be in remembrance of me? Why should be in remembrance of Jesus? Usually when we see the scriptures, a lot of moments is when Moses had the encounter with God, he's making a rock, and it's a place of remembrance. Jacob and the son Joseph, after they had the moment with God, that God saved them, they marked that place and as a moment of remembrance. But Jesus is not dead yet here. He's still alive. But he knows. And that shows that Jesus is, he's determined to go to fulfill God's will. And he's placing this right beforehand. And he's placing that because I forget the goodness that someone else has deep down for me. I will remember once, but what Jesus did is the Lamb of God dying for the sin of the world, the Lamb of God dying for me. And that's a life-transforming moment. And remembering Jesus Christ every week, for some people might look like it's boresome, it's too repetition, but it's not for a believer in Christ, for someone that says, I'm saved. And then we see that also other gospels are mentioning the same moment that Jesus has placed, founded the Lord's Supper. But we see also Paul in the Church of Corinth. And over there is even more problems. Some of the problems can be that maybe some believers were considering Lord's meal to eat a full meal. And I think there is an issue in there. And why, when we come in the morning, we say in remembrance of Jesus Christ, is because Jesus Christ is the sole focus of Lord's Supper, the persona of Lord Jesus. And it's not the food. There is a preparation that happens to believers for coming on Sunday morning. And it's not when I early morning get up, read the psalm, and okay, I'm going to church. There'll be moments that I've done it. But it's ongoing lifestyle. The missionaries that was back in my country, he was always Salvatore Corcelli. He always had a way to encourage, to make a lifestyle, to have this relationship with God. And he was encouraging for a lifestyle. Now, I want to follow my points in here because otherwise it's easy to get sidetracked. I want to go with the basic questions. Who, what, why, that can simplify and reveal more about Lord's Supper. So what is it? It's a celebration of Lord's death and the central thought of the person of Lord Jesus. And it's an invitation actually to a believer, do this. It's a command, but also I would say an invitation, do this in remembrance of me. And we know that he died for us. And who is supposed to be in the Lord's Supper? A believer. Someone that believed that Lord Jesus died on the cross for that individual and that he saved and he's the Lord and Savior. And it's a preparation, a mental and spiritual preparation that needs to be remembering what Jesus has done, is treasuring Christ. That is what we are doing, treasuring Christ. And we know the Bible passage, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And it's your whole persona that is engaging into remembering and worshiping Lord Jesus. How frequently we should do this? And I know that some churches, they do it in a different, some do it maybe 4 times a year, and some do it once a month. For us as Brethren Assemblies, we believe, as we see in the scripture, that it was in the first day of the week. And we see that repetition in the different Bible verses in Act, that, and also Luke chapter 20, verse 7, the first day of the week, there is this moment of taking the time to remembering the Lord, and it gets expressed with breaking the bread as a different expression of Lord's Supper. So we believe to do it once a week, a first day of the week. It's not a burdensome, as I mentioned before. So why at 9 a.m? Some churches can do it in different timing, and I'm sure the leadership decided that this is the best moment timing to spend fresh and to really worshiping God and taking the time for it. What makes our assembly unique is because we take a dedicated 1 hour time for Lord's Supper and really focus on Christ. And what it makes also unique, that is that we don't have a clerical or someone that we pay that should conduct the whole Lord's Supper, but the whole body of believers comes together and allowing the Holy Spirit that is within us to guide us as we remember Lord Jesus, as we sing together. And we know that men remember Lord Jesus in a vocal way and are encouraged to do that. And I know many times I need to do that myself, even more often. And our sisters in continuing worshiping and remembering Christ in silence, but we sing all together in a song and in unity. And it's a beauty when we sing together, isn't it? It's like in a one single voice, in the same harmony, we're redirecting our minds and thoughts towards our God. And so it makes it very unique. And it's not a ritual. It is a heart-flowing worship and thanksgiving towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The elements. We know that the bread, even for the Israel, was a sign of God's provision. And when Jesus said, "Eat this, this is my body, given for broken." And I'm sorry, I need to read it exactly as the word says. "This is my body, which is given for you." This is God's provision. Jesus Christ coming as man, leaving his throne and becoming 100% man, and have a form of a man and a body that was going to be given. This is God's gift to us. And so when this is God's provision towards us. And it's when we get the bread, is some other church, we have to know that some other churches believe that you are actually eating the body of Christ, like the physical body of Christ. It is not. It is a symbolic way of thinking about that the body of Christ was given. And also the cup. Now the wine, I mean, we have to see, I'm sure different, some might say, why wine, why grape juice? It comes from the vine. And I'm sure in Israel, the wine was more a joy, a symbol. But in the same time, when Jesus is saying, this is a covenant for my blood. We know that only through blood we have forgiveness of sin. And the blood of Christ, Jesus, has to be shed for our sins once and for all. And those are two important symbols for the body of Christ to remember, as we remember through these two elements, our Lord Jesus, that God provided for us and our sin is being forgiven through his blood. And we do that every time to remember. And all the technical things, why is in one cup, why is those are not important. It's really focused on Christ. We do have the body coming together, led by the Spirit to do this. But there is, like we are mentioning, some of the conduct, making sure that we're meeting at 9 o'clock. We are meeting in this place together, and some small elements like that. Wanted to stop on another moment that is the believers. The scripture says that we are the holy priesthood. But 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, for us as believers that are participating into it, but you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we are the priesthood. And so when we come with that heart that we are here to give worship to our Lord. And we are proclaiming it. And the proclamation is, it goes also not that only Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that is what we are supposed to do, but also we are proclaiming that he's coming back again. Do this until I come. And when we say that, it means we do not stop to get together. We don't stop to proclaiming what Jesus has done for us. And what is the result of us coming and remembering Lord Jesus? What is the effect? What is the result of it? The result comes a heart of thankfulness, a heart of a repentant person that now his life is transformed and has this relationship with God. Now, who takes all this element? All the believers are welcome to take, but it's very important that 1 Corinthians 11 is saying to examine ourselves beforehand. How's my relationship with God? How's my relationship with my brother and sister? And saying so, as much this is a privilege, this is also a responsibility. But also this is a very honorable and solemn moment for a believer as we are coming together. Aren't we blessed? You know, we were reading this morning on 1 Peter and also Ephesians, all the blessings that comes from Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that comes, we are called the Son of God, and we have redemption through his blood, and we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. All these come from a result of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And aren't we blessed? Aren't we ready to continue remembering our Lord Jesus Christ? And yeah. I wanted to keep more in a simpler way to what I'm sharing tonight. And let's continue in remembering our Lord tomorrow, remembering our Lord tonight. I don't do it as often, but it's a reminder to myself as I was digging into the scripture that a lifestyle to continuing worshiping and remembering Lord Jesus.